God loves us, and he loves us so much that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. Now, we're going to get right back into the Bible and with John. As remember, last week, we looked at the death-conquering Savior, and he did conquer death, hell, and the grave. And, you know, I wasn't planning to say this, but I feel the Spirit laid this on my heart as we were praying. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, now look at these beautiful looking flowers down here. Now somebody help me. What are they called?
Lilies.
And who is Jesus called? The Lily of the Valley, right? The bright and morning star. Remember that song? And you know what? This is a sign of victory that we have. A sign of victory. What did we celebrate last Sunday? What was that? Palm Sunday. And what was the palms for? They were for what? Victory. All right? You know? So they were crying out, "Hosanna." Remember we were doing this? Somebody says, "Oh, you had a Holy Spirit moment." No. We have a Holy Spirit movement every day of the week that points us to what? Jesus Christ. That's his job, right? There is no finagling here. There's no confusion. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's part of God. So I want us to get some fire lit into us this morning. And I want us to realize that you had these miraculous men. You had Nicodemus and you had Joseph. Remember last week we looked at how it was that they prepared the body of Christ. And yet they had to go to Pontius Pilate. He said, "Pilate, look, let us take Jesus off your hand." Remember, Jesus was that hot potato politically and religious leaders. Just give me a pause. I'll try to get it out of my mouth here. But what happened was is that you had these men who had the guts took Jesus' body, and they had between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. in the evening before what? Passover. And before the Sabbath starts, you had to get all this work done. And we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 24 that you could not crucify people. You could not have nothing going on during the Passover. So it was very important before the Sabbath that they got the body down. They had to bury the body. And so these men went ahead and they cleaned off the body as we looked at Jewish law. Cleaned the body off. They had to wrap the, before they had these strips of linen, they had, I believe it was Nicodemus, got 100 pounds of oils and spices, and he had to wrap up the body tight. Okay, from the where the feet were, above the feet, up to where the shoulders were. And once that was done, then they laid him on the shelf. Okay, and they had also put a napkin around his head. Because what the Jews thought that some people who were crucified went into a state of coma. And so they would come back 3 days afterwards and they would check up on the body. Okay, with that being said, that's where we left off. And so, but we know that Jesus died because he said, what did he say in the previous verses? He says, "Father, into my spirit I give myself to you." And he bowed his head. And that was the same word used for he had no place to lay his head. Isn't that amazing? That our Savior worked and worked and worked. And he made sure he fulfilled everything that was needed to be fulfilled. He didn't look at, because we're all different today, he didn't look at us any differently, but he loved us all the same. Isn't it wonderful? I hope this week you had a wonderful, loving week. I hope that you sense God's presence. It was there. You sensed it, just like having a good bagel in the morning. You know, you can taste it. You can taste and see if the Lord's good. And so here we go. We're ready to get started here. Now, there's an unlikely person, Mary Magdalene,
the least of all people. One, because she was a woman. Back in those days, women were treated as second class ladies. I hate to say that. But wasn't hard enough for women to get their rights back in the early 1900s. I'm not talking about the women's liberal movement in the 60s. That was kind of backwards. But I'm talking about what happened there with Mary Magdalene. She was saved from seven devils. God loved her, and she in turn loved him. And what happened was is that she was the very first person to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that God will take the most likely person? And yet, even for women back in that day, I'm not finished, ladies, with the bad news back in those days, because they looked at a woman's witness as being, I don't believe you. You're all liars. That's a horrible thing to say about women, you know. And guys, we need to encourage ladies. They're not a bunch of liars. They are loved in Jesus Christ. Because us guys, we can be liars too, right? If I says that in 1 John, say that you have no lie, you know, you're not a liar, then you're a sinner. You know, the truth of God is not in you. So, Mary Magdalene, early in the morning, first thing in the morning. Now, in the other Gospels, it says there are other women coming to the tomb, but Mary was the only one that John mentioned. Is that any contradiction in the Bible? No, it is not a contradiction, because John specifically marked it out that way. If all the Gospels were said word for word, then I'd have a question about that, because you're looking at different personalities, different people, and I get that argument all the time. Yeah, well, the Bible, you know, people who were like, well, the Bible, usually want to find out so they can justify themselves, so they can walk away from God and walk away from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Simple as that. But Mary stood, in verse 11, outside the tomb weeping. Now, she was all upset, and it says here, and she stooped down. Now, she had come, and in another gospel, it mentions she brought some more spices and perfumes with her, because she thought, well, they remember they didn't believe in embalming. They believed in just wrapping up the body and letting it decompose. So because of this stench, they brought along these spices and perfumes. Okay? So she was a very thoughtful lady. She was very upset because what? Jesus was dead. Remember, nobody believed in the resurrection at that time. Nobody did. And it wasn't until the disciples met Jesus there in the room that they realized that, hey, okay, then they realized that I believe in the resurrection. But at this time, Mary was the first one. So she was weeping, and she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels while sitting, one at one head on the head, by the head, and the other by the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now she was just all kinds of upset. And you know, when we have a loved one or somebody that we miss, you know, we kind of like are not necessarily in the right state of mind, so we need help. The angels were there to help. It's interesting. The angels are mentioned three times to help out Jesus Christ. Were present, excuse me. Once at his birth, once after he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, and thirdly, at the time of the resurrection. Those are the three times that angels were mentioned in the body in the Bible with Christ. And so they were asking, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she posed to him, and then we see that Jesus said, excuse me, in verse 14, "Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?'" And we see here that he cared. He cared that much. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And I like this one part, which is said here, Jesus said to her, "Mary." You know, she was there. She didn't understand things because she was confused and she was upset. She turns around and sees somebody who she thought was a gardener. And then there was that voice. I want you to focus on that voice. Remember when you were saved? Remember that quote that we all know, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God? Isn't that amazing? I remember that when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. But also what came to mind was in preceded that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with him the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. First of all, before you have to believe. You have to believe. And then you confess with your mouth. Because there's some false doctrines around there called easy believism. Oh, just say that you believe Christ is your Savior. But where's the faith before that? You have to believe in your heart first that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have to believe by faith. Today, we have a progressive salvation, right? We have past, present, and future salvation. We are still professing today that we believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Mary, for the very first time, heard that voice. Like, we hear the word of God, and we're like, that's it. That's what I've been looking for all this time. I got it, and I will never let it go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there it was. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. And that has the idea in the grammar of my love, my teacher. Where have you been? I missed you. I need you. I want you this time. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I pray that this week has been teaching. I tell you what, with all the trials and problems that we all go through, right? Hasn't been teaching us. And how sweet it is. Jackie Gleason doesn't have to say that, how sweet it is. Or we can say how sweet it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. How sweet it is when the Holy Spirit directs us to the Word. And the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to her in verse 17, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. It's interesting that she was so much like, have you ever gotten something that you never want to let go? And say, oh, my goodness, you know, I've heard, I've like done this before, and I've read, and I've done, been under teachers, and a lot of them can't figure it out. I have an answer to that. I think she couldn't let go because she loved him so much. Oh, a wondrous love that will not let me go, that one song. And just, I can't let go. And Jesus says, whoa. It's be 40 days. Remember, he was there for 40 days. He witnessed the people, up to 500 people. The road to Emmaus, when one of the disciples says, wasn't that a heart burning in us? Who was that anyway? You ever had an experience like that? Where you're like the Holy Spirit is just burning in your heart and saying, Lord, you got my attention. I am going your way. When I'm going down the highway, I'm going your way. So Jesus appeared, was going to be there for 40 days. What happened after he was ascended in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You know, what happened sooner, very much sooner, is we had Pentecost came. And things just broke wide open. And I tell you what, God's church is alive and well today. I'm getting sick and tired of people saying, you know, Satan is alive and well today. I got a message to tell people back. You know, our church is alive and well today. I tell you what, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. God has given us power and an unction through the Holy Spirit to witness, to go to the four corners. And we'll get to that at the very end of the message, because it is the ever-living story. So Jesus goes on to say here in verse 17, he says, I am ascending, he says there to Mary, to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. And of course, the cults, the liar, the deceiver, the serpent, the snake likes to use that and mess with people's minds. People are stupid today. They get to that low point where the serpent is, and they realize, and I'm hiding behind the cross when I say this, they believe the lies. They don't want to believe in the resurrection. And what they'll tell you is, oh, I believe in a resurrection, but Jesus isn't who he says he is. He's not God, but they don't realize that Jesus was a servant. That's why he said, I had to go to my Father, okay, because that was part of his plan. He became a servant. I'm just saying that. If somebody tries to con you this week or later on, because there are many cons, very many false Christs out there, they will tell you, oh, I believe in a resurrection. No, they don't, because they don't believe in the same Jesus. How can they? And that's why Paul wrote, one of the reasons why he wrote 1 Corinthians, because there were bad teaching about, and you'll read this, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, that there was the baptism of the dead. They brought that doctrine into the church, and they were saying, oh, we need to pray for those people who are being baptized, those people who are being dead. Sounds familiar today in some churches, some big line, dominated. You know, you have a lot of these denominations that dominate the world today, and yet they believe in that ridiculous doctrine in there of people, we need to pray for people that are dead. It's like a purgatory. It's like a baptism. Okay, they were believing back in that day of pagan baptism that, you know, people, we could pray for them to heaven. Why do we have baptism today? It signifies Christ's what? Death. My death, Lord, I'm going into the water, right? Because I'm going to be dead to myself. It's death, burial. What does that mean? I'm buried with Christ, risen with him. So it's not just when we got baptized, believers' baptism. It's a lot more than that. We had already told the Lord, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. God, I am with you all the way, whether we want to fight it or not. And I'm sure we've had those battles this week. So God is saying here to Mary Magdalene, verse 18, came and told the disciples. Now, at this point, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples, who they were in fear of their lives because of what the Jews might do to them, because the body was stolen. They were supposed to have guards guarded there. They were supposed to have a Rome seal put on it. There was the lie already made up in Matthew chapter 27, verses 25 through 62 through 65. 27, 62 through 65. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive that how that deceiver, and they called Jesus the deceiver. Isn't that amazing how the deceiver, Satan, today will just turn it up, tables all around, point at you and say, you're the one who's got the problem. And said, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Oh, yeah. So the disciples, they were hiding because they thought, oh, no, we don't want to get arrested. And anybody who was caught messing with the tomb with a Roman seal, that was an automatic crucifixion for the Jews. If you're a Roman, you got your head chopped off. We already looked at all that in the past weeks. So, but Mary went and told the disciples, and she was like the first missionary. Somebody called her the first missionary. You know, women are special. Thank God for women. You know, you women have been such a blessing to me as your pastor. You don't have any idea what you have done for me. You have no inkling, because you have been such a blessing to me spiritually, and you've done things, and you've done this and that and the other. I'm like, wow, you know, look what she has done for me. And so, you know, you are very important. And I just hope that more pastors and more guys would wake up that women are very special. And thank God for the guys that are here to do. We do appreciate you ladies very, very much. And so it says here, then on the same day at the evening, that means the day that he was crucified. Remember, there's a lot going on this day. And you had Mary Magdalene come first thing in the morning because she couldn't go anywhere at night because of the Sabbath, going around another 24 hours next day. And there She is, and it says that evening, being the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which is today, when the doors were shut, that has the idea that they were locked because they were so scared. They were like, oh, we're not going anywhere. We're staying right where we're at. I hope this week that Satan hasn't got you stool pigeoned. In other words, he hasn't got you locked up in a closet. I hope it's a prayer closet you're praying in, but he hasn't gotten you locked up at home where you feel like you're squeezed. There's two ways that people deal with life. One problem that they have is they're squeezed in with problems, or they're just so busy they're going around circles all the time. These guys, and not getting anywhere, these guys were squeezed at home, and they were trapped, and they were stuck in the rut. As my parents used to kind of say, don't ever get stuck in the rut. Get out of it. Do something. Be creative. Do something else. And they were stuck there. They were trapped in their own minds because of fear. And then it says here, Jesus comes in. I love this. Jesus says, peace. He says it three times in 8 days because he comes twice. The second time he comes for Thomas. And we're not going to beat up on Thomas today, doubting Thomas. Because remember, Thomas said earlier that I would lay down my life, guys. Come on, let's go. We'll die for him. Question I have for today, we got the spirit to do that. Say, Lord, I lay down my life for you. You know, and I hope it never comes to that. John Huss and others did lay down their lives because they didn't have a choice. Either deny Christ or accept Christ. They're like, hey, I have nothing to lose. So my testimony will speak far more volumes than anything else. And I pray that this week that our testimony will speak far more volumes. It says, peace be with you. Remember that idea of peace, and the grammar has the idea of weaving something through the fabric. I pray that God is weaving his heart and mind through your lives, that he's sewing things together. It says, when he had come to this, he showed them his hands and his sides, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't rebuke us like that. When sometimes when we're hidden with fear and we got a lot of problems with us, God doesn't come along with a hammer and start beating us on the head. He doesn't do that. He loves us. He cares about us. You know, it's like with open hands, he just takes us, you know, and we have to be willing to let him. Remember, love is never forced. It's never forced. It's always with an open hand. Do you want it or not? You can't just, you know, either some people will slap his hand, say no. Other people say like, oh, I need you today, Lord. So Jesus, when he said to them the second time, he says, peace to you. The Father has sent to me, also I send you. Remember, disciples, remember, I go about to do my Father's business. Today, we are about a Father's business. What? To be sent by Jesus. Jesus is sent by the Father, and we are supposed to be sent where? Out. We go out to that parking lot sign. The mission field has only just begun. It should be a day-to-day occurrence. Say, Pastor, I'm kind of lost here. Okay, make it very simple. Our testimony is our witness. What we live for Jesus is that kind of witness at home. Then it goes, like it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to Samaria, Jerusalem, Samaria, to other parts of earth. Then it goes to our family. Then it goes to our neighbors. Then it goes out in the streets. And then it goes to the churches and on. You know what I mean, because you all live it. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And it has the regeneration. This is the first time this is mentioned about salvation, about the Holy Spirit actually being involved with the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. They realized by faith, they were like, Jesus, this is you, the resurrected Jesus. Remember, they didn't totally understand him. They went by faith until God revealed to them and imparted the Holy Spirit. They believed, but they scattered. Remember, they ran like sheep when the shepherd was taken. When they realized right then that, hey, this is for real. Now they got the whole circumference. They understood everything. Their salvation was complete at this point. And of course, God would use something even more special later on with Pentecost. Remember, the Holy Spirit came and went in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came upon people and stayed with them permanently in the New Testament. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. In other words, Christ is saying, if you forgive, then I forgive as well. Remember how much of a sinner we are? Remember this, folks. I got it. We need to forgive people as Christ has forgiven us. It makes life a whole lot loving when you realize you sit down and say, Lord, I'm a nobody and I'm a rotten, pardon me, stinking sinner. You know, thinking, stinking, right? I need forgiveness. And somebody's hurt you or done something bad to you, and say, Lord Jesus, I forgive them. Who am I to sit there and judge and act all haughty and mighty and righteous? How dare I do that? Forgive me. And that should humble anybody. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so, but the Catholic Church, I'll call it for what it is. Yeah, I'm online high. Okay. You know what? They use this as a teaching to say that you can only go to a priest for your sins. You can only go to a priest and confess your sins. I'm an Episcopal. Okay. The only difference between us Episcopals, I used to be, and the Catholics is that the priests could marry in one and the other they couldn't. That was the only difference. I did the same ordinances, did the same stuff, the whole shebang for 12 years until God got a hold of me later on and saved my wretched heart. I didn't like religion anyway. When I accepted Christ, I loved that relationship. Boy, howdy do that. I can't wait to get with Jesus, okay? And some days, well, anyway, we all have those days. So, Jesus is saying this. And now Thomas, called the twin, now we're seeing here not only was there is a witness to Mary Magdalene, then to the disciples, then we have also here, now Thomas called the twin. Now you have to remember, it's been that day, Resurrection Day, Sunday. Christ rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene saw what happened. She went and told the disciples. There were other women mentioned in there. And then, of course, we had John and Peter. They went down to look at the tomb, and they were still kind of confused. It wasn't until that evening of that Sunday that they believed as well, because where God's Jesus appeared to them. They got the whole circumference. Now, with that being said, then you had one that was missing named Thomas. And this happens here. He says, now Thomas called the twin, and a lot of people believe that he looked like Christ. That's why he was called the twin. Was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of his nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. In other words, Thomas lacked faith. He's saying, I've seen all this. Remember, with Thomas, he was doubting Thomas, people call him. But remember, he was willing to lay down his life. And remember, I'm not going to beat up on Thomas because the disciples ran too from the Garden of Gethsemane. As soon as things got really tough, people ran. You know, people run in fear. You know, a sinful person flees when no man pursues. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about people who were afraid because of Roman law, because of the whole religious system was against. The whole satanic system was against Jesus and the resurrection. That was what the principality of the air was trying to retain. And thank God Christ broke through that. Oh, sting, oh, death, where is thy sting? You know, we had the victory in Jesus Christ. So you had that lack of faith. And so verse 26, and then after eight days, the following week, the disciples were again inside. So they were still afraid of what was going to happen. They were afraid of the Jews and the Romans. They didn't know where Christ's body was. In fact, today, even the Jews believe that the body was stolen. And it says, 8 days, his disciples went again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came with the doors being shut and stood in the midst. And one of the Gospels says that he came in like a ghost or a spirit. They were like, oh, you know. I think that would get startle us all together all too much. But I love what Jesus says again. He says, peace to you. In other words, as the kids would say, just chill out. Just calm down. I'm here. I'm here. And with all the fear and the tension and frustration maybe we've had this week, let me tell you, Jesus wants to say peace to you. Give me some shalom, okay? It means God's peace with you. I love you, okay? Jesus wants to give you a hug. You know, you should give yourself a hug and say, you know, Lord, I know you love me. I know you do. Comfort yourself. Relax. It's okay. Then he said to Thomas, reach in the finger here and look at my hands and reach into your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So, you know, one day when we see Christ, we will see the hands. People say the hands is the wrist that was pierced, because if they have crucified a victim, they would have torn right through his hands, because most of the weight was on what? Their hands, right? We already looked at this. And then, of course, his feet too. We'll see the piercing for all eternity. You know something about the resurrection? Look in 1 Corinthians 15 if you have time. We don't have time. But we will be in that perfect state as we were originally supposed to be. You realize we'll have a new name. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more death. We'll be with our love, our first love. And on, we won't have any more decay, no more second law of thermodynamics, which is entropy decaying. It's where you get the dust. That's why you have to dust everything all the time, because everything's breaking down the universe. Christ upholds everything with his resurrection. He gives us resurrection power to overcome that. Okay? So, after 8 days, disciples were inside, Thomas with them, and again, doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace to you. And he said, Thomas, reach your finger here. And he took his hands, reached his hands in there, and put it in his side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. I believe he accepted Christ right there. He believed. You know, when you say Lord, that means you're, in other words, in the translation has, you're the ruler of all. You're the boss of all. You're sovereign. You are it. There is no other God. And I pray this week that there is no idol, nothing that's in your way that's keeping you from Christ, because God wants to bless you this week. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. And we know Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things, what? Hope for, the evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen Jesus. And somebody who was on the borderline of blasphemy this past week said, I haven't seen Jesus. Oh, what are you talking about? What is this Jesus you're talking about? I said, you got to believe. I said, have you ever believed? Have you ever even tried reading your Bible? He's like, no. I said, well, how can you believe? You know, somebody comes knocking at your door saying they're Jehovah Witnesses or Mormons. Grab your Bible and say, unless I can read out this Bible, I usually give them 5 minutes. This is how I set them up. It's like somebody who calls on the phone, a salesman. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes. Enjoy your 5 minutes. I'm just sitting there on the other end who's going through my Bible. Lord, what am I going to tell this person? After they're done, I say, I got my 5 minutes. And I go and witness to him. When somebody comes knocking at your door, do not let them in, like it says in 1st and 3rd John, excuse me. By all means there, don't wish them Godspeed, but get your Bible out and say, you know, I don't want to hear, your Bible's different than mine. So we, you know, that's where you start off with. So, for us believers, in verse 30 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, who is deity, and that believing by faith you may have life in his name. That is the theme verse of John. We've been going through John since, I can't even remember, okay, since the fall, I think, after we got done with Acts. But this is the crux. This is where You know, the butter goes into the milk and the crannies in your English muffin. This is where it gets down in there, right? This is the good stuff. This is who he is. You believe it by faith. So he is who he is. And, you know, let me just tell you and finish with this here. There's probably a whole lot more I had to say, but what has the risen Savior given to us? What has he given to us today? Put it in practical terms. Number one, he has given us peace. I hope that you can leave here today with more peace than you've ever had. The trials are going to hit you. Yes, you're going to go through that darkest time. Yes, it's going to come across like the enemy's winning, but you have peace because you're doing everything right. Don't let the liar lie to you and say, oh, now you're doing everything wrong. No, you're doing right. Start from there. Start with right. All right? Number two, the risen Savior has given us great, great proof. There's so many infallible proofs right here. There's so many proofs in the Bible. Jesus says who he is. Walk it and live it, and you'll see. Okay? Faith without works is dead. You know, you're not going to experience unless you know the resurrected life. Satan wants to keep you cramped up in your chair and say, I'm not going anywhere. And you start shaking and feeling all upset for yourself. Don't go there. Yes, you may have gone there. We've all gone there. But you know what? God can release us. He can let us break through those chains. And he can give us the freedom in Christ, the glory and the power. And thirdly, the risen Savior has given us great purpose. He has given us great purpose. And I'm going to read this to you, Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want to close with this. Remember it says earlier in John, like I've already read, that, you know, so as my Father has sent me, so I sent you. Remember, this resurrection is not something to be kept on the mantletop in your living room above your fireplace. This is something that we need to share. And I'm saying this because I thank God for you all sharing. You are living the life. Let me encourage you, keep on living it. Keep on living the resurrected life because you know why we're still here? Because we still have more work to do. We have more work to do. You know, let us get working. Let us keep on being faithful. Let us keep on encouraging each other. Let's live the resurrected life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the time that you took to die on the cross for our sins. And thank you, Lord Jesus, as the disciples understood. So we need to understand as well. Because, Lord, you have given us the whole compass of life. You know where everything goes, south, north, east, or west. As one person put it, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. That's us with the horizontal. And the vertical is the arms. The vertical is the arms. Help us to live the cross. Help people to see Christ in us. Help us, Lord God, to experience your love. And pray if there's anybody here who doesn't understand the resurrection, is still trying to understand the cross, and still doesn't understand your salvation, just believe by faith. Believe, believe. And then as you believe, you ask Christ into your heart. And as you believe, you say to your people around you, I believe, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord God of the universe. You live it. You believe it. You have to go by faith. It's a continuing life. Lord, we thank you, God, for our salvation. We thank you for in the past we were saved, in the present we're living it, in the future, Lord, we're going to live it because we live it by faith. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. Through your blood, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.